rising, mister.
Life can be so sweet.
On the sunny side of the street.
I'd like to turn it over now to professional singer Dan Strauss. Sing it, Dan.
With those blues on parade.
Like El Devo, those singers.
Not afraid.
Yeah, come on, man.
This rover.
Is poopoo one word or two?
Crossed
it doesn't matter. We don't use that kind of language, Mike, and I've told you that. I know what kind of station you want. Filth.
Gold dust at
you've
my
asked
feet.
Me time after time, why can't you do all dirty stuff? Why can't you be vulgar? I said, no.
Who asked that?
Mike Dorsey.
Oh.
That's what he likes. He likes that dirty stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Large Morning Show in the afternoon, where it is exactly 3:14, or we'll be in
Bing Bong
10 seconds, and it is the 24th of May. 30 days as September. Yeah, we have 31 days in this month. That includes this, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
Was it 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day?
The 3rd of June, and that should be coming up.
It's coming up, buddy.
Yeah.
Pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weekend, so we're not going to be able to do much with
it. Is it on a Friday? Let's see.
I think it's Saturday or Sunday, I think. Why don't you look it up?
I am looking right now. I just check.
Isn't it great that your phone has a calculator and a calendar?
Calculator.
Yeah. And a conversion thing from meters to yards. It's got everything.
You're right.
I've got a level and a compass. Hey, did you ever use your compass? Did you ever even download the app? It's a free compass?
No.
It is unbelievable. Your whole screen is a floating compass, north, south, east, west. You should do that.
Wow. I had one on my old phone. Yeah, and I saw it one time, and I go, oh, that's cool.
Exactly, and you never use it. I downloaded a level, I mean, with a bubble, and I thought, this is the coolest thing. I've never used it. You know what you do? You go to your table in your house, you go, okay, it's pretty level. Hmm. But you don't really need it. It's just the fact that you can do it.
Oh, I like it. I might use it. I would use a level.
There's a free app. You turn your phone into a ruler or yardstick. You hold the phone, press a thing, and then move it across, and it tells you how many inches.
Oh, that's awesome.
What would you use a level for?
I'm going to put up some siding, and I have to...
are going to put up siding?
Yeah, with the help of our drummer and our new band. Seventh Planet Band.
Well, let's get some more paper because this man's resume continues to expand.
Mm-hmm.
You put up siding, so you're in construction.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Why would you put up siding? You rent a house.
Well, it's a convoluted kind of weird deal that I have going with.
That's unusual.
With a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I'm helping with the siding.
So it's his house?
No, it's hers.
Hers. And does she know you can't see? That a person that can't see is putting their siding?
Well, that's why Jim's going to help me. But it's just a small portion. It's not a great big, huge area that I'm doing.
Hmm. I didn't know you could do that. I continue to be amazed at you. Running a restaurant, selling cars, going to purse parties, almost selling Mary Kay Cosmetics.
I've worked on cars.
Teaching broadcasting. You've what?
I've worked on cars before.
Pian, did you know that? Mechanic? Did you know that?
No.
And aligned.
I didn't know it.
And learned front-end alignment and rebuilt transmissions.
I had no idea. No idea.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask both of you a question here. Dan, I know you were Catholic. Pian, did you do a lot of time in church?
Yes, I was raised Catholic as well.
Okay, I wish one of you had done some Protestant, Baptist, Methodist type stuff. Just because I don't think you guys sing the same songs. They sing. Do they sing in a Catholic church?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they the same hymns or are they different?
I don't think... I think Catholics have some... some are probably the same, but I know... Well, I mean, just like probably Protestant and Baptist, they have specific ones just for... their individual.
For the Catholic Church.
Yes.
I think there are some crossover. I think there are some songs. Like did the reason I mention this is I caught myself this morning just walking through the house, and for no reason I'm singing a hymn that I heard 1,000 times as a kid going to church. with my grandmother or with my parents, and you sing them, and you have no idea what they mean or what you're singing about. Now, the ones you do, the old rugged cross. I mean, okay, that's the old rugged cross.
Yeah, we didn't sing that one. I don't know.
Okay, you don't sing that one. These Rock of Ages, you sing that one?
No.
Now, see, as a kid, Rock of Ages cleft for me. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Rock of Ages cleft for me.
Cleft chin for me.
Let me, see, that's sacrilegious.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? What you just did, that sends people to hell.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
I'm sorry.
Let me hide thy something in thee. That's another thing I couldn't understand. I think that when I was a kid, you could have had kids be a lot more interested in church if they'd stopped that thee and thou stuff. They used to talk that way. We don't use it.
Oh, we used to go to...
What art thou doing?
I went to Mass before, and when it was in all...
Latin?
Latin. Oh, I hated that.
I'm not being sacrilegious at all. Look, there's a Bible. There's a King James, and then there's a Bible.
Yeah.
For years, there's been a Bible out that's in regular English, in a way that everybody can understand, including kids. And it wasn't, and he saith unto them, somebody begat somebody, mm-hmm. somebody begat something, and thou'st something. It was in printed in a way you could understand it. Which brings me to the song I was singing this morning. Now I know there'll be people that will take this the wrong way, and that's just your problem. This is an observation of a guy who, as a kid, went to church a lot. And if there was a revival, and if you don't know what a revival is, it's horrible if you're a kid, because you go to church every night. Every night. Dan, yeah. Your buddy, Tim, you guys yep. were, he was what, Assembly of God or something?
No, he was Pentecostal.
Oh, my goodness. Well, they had to have that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The tent revival and all that.
Yep.
And so the song I was singing this morning, I'm not going to sing it to you, but I'm going to bring back from the dead the great Tennessee Ernie Ford, who was a terrific gospel singer. That little, that was my computer. Here's the song, and Pian, I bet you've never heard it if you just went to the Catholic Church and nowhere else. And for all of you Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, especially if you grew up in the South, this is going to bring back some memories. But I never bothered to look at my grandmother or my parents and go, what does this mean? And here's one of those songs.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in
everybody,
bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves,
harmony,
we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Now, the reason for playing that, I had never had any idea what the sheaves were. Beyond, do you know? I bet you do, because you're pretty smart.
I have no idea what that is.
I don't know what sheaves are.
Now, we sang this, I'm not kidding, like, it seemed like every Sunday, at least every other Sunday.
Bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing,
I would bet that half of the people in the church, the adults didn't know.
And it was almost considered sacrilegious if you'd said, excuse me, Pastor, what in the world are the sheaves?
Yeah, what's a sheave?
A sheave is a bundle. You can have sheaves of paper, sheaves of corn, sheaves of grain. When you harvest and you bundle stuff, it's the sheaves. So we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. In other words, we're celebrating the harvest. We're thankful for the harvest. But I didn't know that. I'd sit there bringing in the sheaves, because there was something in church about if you could sing a little bit louder than the person next to you.
Oh, yeah.
It almost was like you had a better chance of going to heaven or something. Because there were always those people who especially ones that couldn't sing and were off, but they were loud.
Yeah.
So
no, I would sing. I would be the people, one of the people that would sing just above a whisper. I didn't want to be heard at all.
Yeah. I just got a text from Ed's actually an advertiser. He and I have a lot in common, sort of a southern history. He says they're relating harvesting the crops. I just said that. Probably texted as I was saying it.
And when they said sowing seeds,
I thought they were sowing a dress or something.
I know. I never knew until I got older what sowing seeds. It's like, what are you talking about? Dirty. Sowing seeds.
Well, it sounds dirty.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Sowing the seeds of love. That's
dirty. Yeah. That's in books like James Joyce's stuff, Ulysses and that stuff. And he sowed his seeds.
Yeah.
And produced them. Now, there are other songs that, you know, just as I am without, you're coming to the Lord just as you are. Just, that was always at the end of the service when they asked people to come forward. But it's incredible how when you're a kid, and I can't even count the number of services, thousands, where you hear these songs over and over and over, and they're ingrained in I come to the garden alone. I mean, I have not sung these songs for years. I still remember them. And it's too bad that the way I grew up, if you questioned anything, you needed counseling. You needed help. You were bad. How dare you question? You just went along, and you didn't question. And that's too bad. I don't think that's the case anymore. I think a lot of people question a lot of things. And I'm not saying it's wrong. No, it's not wrong to go to church. You want to sing those songs, you sing them. But wouldn't it have been nice if just one Sunday the preacher got up and said, let's analyze, take a look at this song, Bring in the Sheaves. For those of you who don't know, here's what the song's about. That would have been great. They never did that. And did the people that write Rock of Ages, and did they didn't make any money off that?
I don't know.
Somebody
know
owns
works.
The publishing rights to the, one of them, what do you think of like the most familiar and popular gospel song? Just As I Am would be one.
Rugged Cross.
Old Rugged Cross. That's right up there at the top. Rugged Cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. I still remember
the memories of suffering
and shame. And I love that old cross to the something, something of sinners with fame. And I cherish the old rugged cross. Thank you.
And I never knew that song until I got older and went to another church because we didn't sing that in Catholic church.
Now, there were some songs that were powerful songs that I understood, and I still love them to this day. One is I Believe. I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the dark somewhere, a candle glows. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I know why. I believe.
Now that was.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was kind of a crossover because that actually made radio airplay and stuff. And,
it did.
And that, yeah.
No, it did.
So that made it to the churches and to the public.
Now there's a song called He. I love this song. He can turn the tide and calm the angry sea. He alone decides who writes a symphony. It's an incredible song. And again, I guess somebody owns publishing rights to these songs, but the hymnal was the second only to the Bible in terms of importance in the church. Turn in your hymnals to page 247. And the hymnal, if I remember, had about 500 pages in it, but they sang the same seven or eight songs all the time. I'd look through there in their songs, go, how come we don't ever sing these songs? So, bringing in the sheaves for no reason. See, I told you before, I think this is what happens when you get near death. Stuff starts coming into your head for no reason that was planted there years ago. I'm getting close to the end.
I've been doing this for 20 years.
For a long time.
You've been close for a long time.
Does anybody have anything to say?
I do.
All right. I'd like to introduce you on the piano. It's all yours.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
First thing, I would like to give an update on a story I guess we talked about maybe last week. The man who was up for a murder rap because his girlfriend died. Do you remember that one? She died from choking.
Well, was this a sexual thing?
Yes, and he claimed that she was performing on him.
And she choked, and so he was charged with murder?
Yes. And remember, he said his member was so, he was going to have to show it because to prove that it was big enough to cause her to suffocate.
Yeah, choked to death.
And they had the trial, and he was found not guilty.
Really?
Those of us who are well endowed should not be persecuted or punished for that. And by the way, I'd like to interrupt. Thank you, Priscilla, who just sent me an email. This is a good one. Wonder working power in the blood of the lamb.
Oh. Man.
Wow.
When you're a kid, you're just going, ooh, what? Thank you, Priscilla. That's a good one.
The prosecutors, of course, argued that he used his hands to choke her because her death was ruled undetermined by the medical examiner's office. And they filed a motion, his lawyers filed a motion to allow his client to show his penis in court so the jury could see it.
I do kind of remember this.
And but the judge did not rule on that motion, and he did not have to show it to the jury. So during the trial...
Some of the jury's going, well, not too bad. I'd like to see that.
during the trial, they had a former Broward County medical examiner, and he said her death could have been the result of choking during the act.
Wow.
So, If he had been convicted, he could have faced life in prison, but found not guilty. And another story, I could probably start finding one of these every couple days.
Please do.
We talked about how this is the fake outrage time now,
right.
The outrage generation. That one article I saw, that was a pretty good term. There were a couple women. They started a these restaurants now, they have these pop-up ones. Have you ever heard about it? They take like an empty space and pop up a restaurant just for a couple weeks or whatever, see how it goes.
No, how do you do that?
It
can't be much of a restaurant. It's just pop
yeah,
it
I'm
up.
Not sure what all goes into starting one of these pop-ups, but these two women started one in Portland. It was a burrito place. It was called Kook's Burritos.
Like K-O-O-K?
K-O-O-K-S, yeah.
You're a kook.
And so they went to on a trip to Mexico, and they talked to all these ladies that make the local tortillas and stuff like that. And they kind of picked their brains.
You almost said they
did, I almost
yeah.
did. But they picked their brains just getting some of these recipes and how these women make these authentic tortillas and burritos. So they brought back these recipes. They started this restaurant, and they were interviewed then, telling the story how they started this restaurant and everything. And so once this interview got out, it started this fake outrage where all these people started saying these two white women were cultural appropriating. Essentially they're stealing these women's culture and things like that and using it for their own gain now.
Okay, it would be like Peter Fleming, who owns P.F. Chang's. You'll never see an Asian, a Chinese person in that restaurant waiting on you. It'd be the same thing. They'd go, well, he's using another culture for personal gain.
Right.
Same thing.
The people were saying they stole these recipes, and one person said, now that you unapologetically stole the basis of these women's livelihood, you can make their exact same product so other white people don't have to be inconvenienced dealing with a pesky brown middle woman getting in the way.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
And so they had to shut down their restaurant. restaurant because of all this
backlash.
No,
they didn't have to. Here, again, is another case of the pussification of America, of us doing what a handful of people say we should do.
Well, I'm guessing that all their customers dried up. I'm assuming they...
I would have flooded the place with business once that happened.
Yeah, the Yelp reviews started coming in with one stars saying that it's white mediocrity and, you know, things like that. And,
oh, good grief.
And, yes, so that one person, I thought it was very funny that they're stealing these women's livelihoods, even though they live 4,000 or 5,000 miles away in Mexico, and these women had their place in Portland, but they were somehow
stealing. Why is that any different than a chef who travels, you know, to Europe or somewhere and gathers up,
right,
and brings up? There's no
difference.
There
isn't any.
I
know.
Stealing.
And they come back here.
Nobody owns it.
They come back here and open a French restaurant.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's not stealing.
They don't
own the food.
It's amazing how many of these stories every day, though, I am coming across. That. Well, that's what one person commented on this story, and they said, so when you go to, like, Colombia in South America or something, and you see a pizza restaurant, does that mean that they're stealing an Italian woman's livelihood? And
or how about coffee? We go to Costa Rica, Jamaica, and get coffee beans. Well, grow your own coffee in America. You're taking away the livelihood. It's stupid.
Yes.
And if you want, here's the problem. If you want to get attention and you want your 15 minutes of fame, lash out and create one of these fake outrage things, and you'll get on TV. And everybody will see your face because the media gives attention to these nuts and these people who are only one of a handful who are complaining about this stuff. But we let them.
Right.
And we change laws for them.
Yeah.
I want to say we got to stop it. It's too late.
No,
too late.
It is.
We lost
too late.
Our minds.
Yeah.
Oh, it's way too late because, was it yesterday? Yesterday at Forest Park, they had.
Oh, the monument, yeah.
The monument, yeah. The Confederate monument.
Oh, I'm sick
of
this,
and the Black Lives Matter people were there, and then the people that wanted to protect the monument and leave it there because it's part of our history, but then they wanted, so they were going back and forth, and they had reporters down there and said that these people, both sides, were screaming and just yelling obscenities and screaming at one another while kids are there, too. They had their kids there.
With these monument things, I think people on both sides are just absolutely nuts.
They're
about
nuts.
The whole thing. It really doesn't, in the whole scheme of things, it doesn't matter.
Here's the difference. Let's go down south. Take the Robert E. Lee statue, okay? If you were to take one by one, take the Confederate Southern people who are outraged that you're removing as part of our history and said, who was Robert E. Lee and what did he do? They could tell you. But take one of the Black Lives Matter people and ask them who it was. They probably don't even know. They just—they're there because they think they're supposed to be there, yelling and screaming and objecting to something.
Mm-hmm.
And for goodness' sake, stuff that happened 100 years ago, 200 years ago—it was 100 or 200 years ago. And
yep.
It's part of history.
Yeah, that's the part that I think is kind of interesting, is why now? I mean, some of these monuments. I mean, I understand that.
I'm glad you mentioned this. You know why? You know what I watched last night? I only watched the last 25 minutes of it. Gone with the Wind. It was on Encore or Stars or something.
Yeah.
So I stopped and I watched it with my wife. We both watched it. Rhett Butler, Frank, my dear, I don't give a damn. Thank you.
Wow.
And what's her name? Vivian Leigh. And here's the deal. I watched it thinking, well, they need to stop showing this movie because Mammy was on there who looked just like Aunt Jemima with that thing on her head. And here's her exact line when Rhett Butler shows up because, I don't know, it was one of Scarlett's drama. She was always such a Jemima, so red. Somebody died. Or something. And he comes in, and here's what Mammy says. I wrote it down. Hang on. She says, I sure is glad you's here. Now, I thought, well, this is racist showing. I sure is glad you's here. And then that woman, when they have the baby, she says, I don't know nothing about birthing no baby.
Mm-hmm.
And they're dressed just like the, you know, the Aunt Jemima type. Well, that's the most racist. No, it's depicting what actually
the
country was like at that time.
Yeah.
I'm surprised somebody hasn't gone after that. They will.
You know
what? They'll put an end to showing Gone with the Wind.
We should. We should do this.
Yes.
Take up a stand.
And we'll get on CNN.
Never.
Yeah.
Never show Gone with the Wind again.
And here's the way it'll work. We'll hold a press conference, and then Dan... you'll introduce me. Mm-hmm. You go, I'm Dan Strauss of KTRS of St. Louis, and thank you all for coming. Now I'm going to turn it over to the man who actually is responsible for calling attention to this horrible, horrible depiction, which nobody should see, this stinking, stupid, racist, gone with the wind. Yes. Frank Opinion. Thank you, Dan. And then I'll say, I quote now from the character Mammy, which in itself is offensive. I sure is glad you's here. Ladies and gentlemen, do we need this? Do we need to depict black America as speaking like slaves? I don't think so. And I say we put an end to this movie. Yeah. And it never should be shown again.
Yeah.
Do we want our children, and any child could access Stars or Encore? They can go to the TV. There's no parental control that blocks that out. They can go, pull it up, and what do they see? They see a black woman talking like this. Mm-hmm. I sure is glad you's here. I don't know about birthing no baby. Is that what we want our children to see? So that when they then leave the TV, go out in public, and they see a black person, they say, I know how you's talk. I seen Gone with the Wind. No, we don't want that, and let's end it now.
Yeah. Get rid of it.
And then you hold a big film burning thing where you gather and pile a bunch of copies of Gone with the Wind on the fire. I think we're on to something.
Yeah, I heard John Kerry on the show before us. He was talking about that monument thing. And it's so ridiculous. The thing is just an obelisk. It's, you know, it looks like kind of like what the Washington Monument is. You know, just a tower thing. There's no statue on it or anything. There's just a plaque on it.
Oh, yeah. It's not a person?
So he, no, it's not a person. So he said, just take the plaque off. If that's a, why do you have to tear the whole thing down?
And here's the other thing. 90% of the statues around this country with somebody on a horse, if you look at who's that, they wouldn't be able to tell you. If they didn't read the plaque, they couldn't tell you.
That's what another thing he said. He goes, everybody's driven by that thing in Forest Park for however long it's been up. I don't know, 50 years. And nobody knew what it was. But now somebody,
no, it's a big deal.
Unbelievable. And it's a, so there's a simple solution. You get a group of people, a small group of people, mouthing off. You just say, shut the hell up. That's it. There's the solution. Mm-hmm. And don't put them on TV. And you go about your business. Because 98% of the country doesn't care.
But I'm with I'm with Fred Carney that you go ahead and take the...
Take
the plaque off of the stupid thing.
Yeah. Gone with the Wind has to go.
Yeah.
I see it should be Gone with the Wind. And then we'd have to start looking at other... Remember when they took the Tom Sawyer out of the schools? They didn't want him because there was some reference in there to the N-word or something. Little Black Sambo,
the book.
The book?
Yeah.
And then Sambo's Restaurant? Didn't they change...
Sambo's Restaurant changed to Seasons Restaurant. They changed the name.
Oh, my...
And it wasn't even... the name was actually because of a guy, Sam Bostein, and his partner.
It had nothing to do with Little Black Sambo.
It was a combination of their names.
Now, do you remember, either one of you remember the story of Little Black Sambo?
Yeah.
Tiger or something?
Tiger chased him around a tree, and then the tiger turned to butter.
Yeah.
And, even know that much.
Yeah. Ooh, how horrible.
Yeah.
About that?
But why did the tiger change the butter? I never understood that story.
No, that's another one of those, let's screw kids up stories where we'll mess their heads up so they don't know which way's up. I'm with you. I never understood what's Jack and the Beanstalk. Some guy, first of all, you can't climb a beanstalk. That messes with kids. Mm-hmm. And you go out and try it and you'll kill the plant. But he climbed up and then what happened? Fee, fi, fo, fum, isn't that?
Yeah, the giant was up there.
I smell the blood of an Englishman. And then what?
So you can't stand on. He had a golden goose.
He did?
Yeah, the giant had a golden goose that laid golden eggs. And
the people that wrote these were on LSD.
I know. And Jack went up to get the golden goose to save the farm and
what
so they could be rich.
Mm? What farm? The farm on top of the beanstalk?
No. I thought Jack had a farm. They had a farm. His family.
I have no idea. I know there's a thing called Jack's
family had a
farm. So, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an English. Who's the Englishman? Is that Jack?
Yeah.
Why does he smell his blood?
I don't know.
He means he knows he's coming?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, he smells them, and I guess he's going to kill him and eat him.
Another look at some of these things. I was going to say, it's a wonder we're not all crazy. We are crazy.
Well, when you look at a lot of those nursery rhymes, my favorite, though, is Andrew Dice Clay, when he said, there was an old lady who lived in a shoe. She had so many kids, her uterus fell out.
That actually makes sense.
I know.
Because that might happen if you had that many kids. But we've talked about it before. A kid jumping over a candlestick.
Yeah.
That's harmful. That's dangerous. Kids go, I think I'll try that. And then they burn their testicles off.
Well,
so we have to take a break. Was that it for you?
Yes, that was all I had.
Dan, did you have anything?
No, I didn't have anything.
Our closing segment. Our segment's officially closed. If you're going to be jumping over candlesticks, you might want to have some good feet inserts in your shoes, arch supports. We don't really care what you call them. You can call them arch supports or good or inserts, as long as you know that this would be... It's a good idea. It's an option that you may not have considered if you're regularly having foot pain, leg pain, knee pain, hip pain, backaches, headaches. Any of those could be coming from the uneven distribution of weight on your feet. And you don't have to be heavy to have the problem. Look, if you weigh 160 pounds, that 160 pounds is supposed to be equally distributed so that per square inch on your feet, one part of your foot's not taking an excessive amount of that load. And if it is, it's going to create pain. I'm not a doctor. I don't understand it completely, but I understand it enough that it makes sense to me. And it must make sense to a lot of people because thousands of people have found relief that they thought they were only going to find in painkillers or surgery. Now, some conditions will require that, but many others may not. Why don't you find out? Why don't you take that pain into the Good Feet store? Tell them what's hurting. This is not going to take long at all, and you don't need an appointment. And hopefully, before you leave the store, you'll put one of those inserts or arch supports in your shoes and go, ooh, this is different. I feel the difference already. Boom, they've done their job. Good Feet stores, two locations in the St. Louis area on Olive, just west of 270, a sort of catty-cornered across from Friday's, and in Shiloh, Illinois, at Greenmount Road across from Deerberg's, the Good Feet Stores.
Meep, meep.
All right, let's get a check on traffic. I believe we have Tim Weiland back with us today. Tim?
And you're believing is correct.
Well, back. It's so refreshing to have you back. Thank you.
Yeah. Not really a lot going on. I mean, it's just volume and slowdowns. We have no accidents or incidents to report. That's a good thing. You have stop-and-go traffic on southbound 270 now from Page down through the Clayton Road overpass. Pockets from that point through Marshall Road. Westbound 44 just getting a little slow around Shrewsbury. Again, between the Merrimack River and Bowles. We have eastbound 40 downtown. It's slowing from Union Station to the Poplar Street Bridge. Northbound 55, you're backed up to the ramp of 44, which has eastbound 44 slow at Jefferson. And then westbound 40 slow now from approaching Kings Highway through McCausland. This traffic report is brought to you by Staples. When it's time for new technology, go to Staples. Purchase a new PC or printer at Staples and receive 30 days of tech support free. See store or staples.com for details. Staples, it's pro time. I'm Tim Weiland from the Jack Schmidt Ford Lincoln of Collinsville Traffic Center.
Firehouse Subs is proud to announce that now you can get the big taste of any of their 10 specialty subs in a new flavor-packed small size. New small subs start at just $3.99, and they're under 500 calories each. Firehouse Subs, founded by firemen.
Live and local.
The Big 550 KTRS.
Streaming live at KTRS.com.
Hi, I'm John Grayson for Premier Heating and Cooling. Now is the best time for you to give them a call at 636-916-1122 because as we get out of the cooler weather and into the hot weather, you want to make sure that your cooling system is ready to handle the task. Have Premier Heating and Cooling come out and give you a checkup. They are the most experienced and oldest American Standard customer care dealer in the St. Louis and St. Charles area. They work on and maintain every major brand of heating and cooling products. Their certified factory trained technicians are all fully licensed and insured and ready to do the job. They've been servicing the St. Louis and St. Charles area for many, many years, 25 years of experience in residential and commercial HVAC. And not only are they A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, but most of their business at Premier Heating and Cooling comes from people who were referred by family members or friends. Whether your needs are residential and they'll sit down and talk with you about the best plan for your system, or you're working with a commercial system, there is only one number to know, 636-916-1122. That's where you find Premier Heating and Cooling.
This is Jim McMillan. You know, I've been a family man for a long time, and now I want to tell you about another family that I just love, and that's the Fertilome family. Fertilome is known across the country as one of the most complete families of products that goes to work on lawns and gardens every day. Tree foods, evergreen foods, lawn foods, weed killers, insecticides, fungicide, and the list goes on and on. Chances are that when you visit your favorite nursery, one of the first names you see is Fertilome, because your nurseryman is a pro and he knows there's always a cure for your lawn or garden problem somewhere in the Fertilome family. When you buy a Fertilome product, you buy years of testing in the industry, and many of those products are not found in any other line. So why not make Fertilome a member of your family today? So get the solution to your garden problems today with a Fertilome product. Fertilome, what a great family.
Hi, I'm John Grayson for True Clean Carpet, voted number one in St. Louis by readers of St. Louis Magazine because they get your carpet truly clean. The dogs have been walking on it, the kids have been walking on it, tracking in dirt from the outside. True Clean is there to help. And your carpet will be truly clean because of their steam cleaning process, which uses no shampoos, no residue to dry and get sticky on your carpet. It will stay clean longer and dry faster, just 1 to 2 hours instead of the 8 to 12 hours you're told to expect from other inferior carpet cleaners. True Clean Carpet got 99% of the reviews on the website for 5 stars for outstanding service. They've got an A+ Better Business Bureau rating, and for 13 years, True Clean Carpet has been the name to know in St. Louis for carpet cleaning. All the True Clean technicians have had extensive background checks. They have all provided outstanding service, and that leads to your carpet staying cleaner longer. Just remember, no matter how it got dirty, to get it truly clean, you've got to call True Clean Carpet at 314-427-9500. That's 314-427-9500, or go to truecleancarpet.com.
Hey, St. Louis, this is AJ Cochran, center back for St. Louis FC. Join us in a worldwide technology soccer park as we represent our city against some of the best soccer talent in the country.
Make your plans now to get tickets as St. Louis FC returns home to battle Toronto FC 2 on Friday, June 2nd at 7:30 p.m. Presented by Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers. After the floods forced them on the road for over a month, it's time to pack the house and reopen Worldwide Technology Soccer Park in Toyota Stadium. For more information or to get your tickets, go to stlouisfc.com.
Ready to shop local? The next time you're ready to paint, visit Flanagan Paint and Supply in Ellisville to choose from a wide variety of premium Benjamin Moore paints. Benjamin Moore offers unmatched color and durability, so color will last for years to come. And when you shop Flanagan Paint and Supply in Ellisville, you're not just improving your home, you're supporting a local business too. FlanaganPaint.com. Benjamin Moore, for everything that matters.
Medical alert. Recent studies have linked the commercial herbicide Roundup with a significant increase in non-Hodgkin lymphoma. If you or a loved one were exposed to Roundup at work and then developed non-Hodgkin lymphoma, you may be entitled to financial compensation and you have the right to take action. Call the Levin Papantonio Law Firm, Pensacola, Florida, toll-free for a free consultation at 800-340-6621. Don't delay. Call today. That's 800-340-6621. Non-attorney spokesperson.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Do you love golf? Do you appreciate our veterans? The KTRS McGraw Open Golf Tourney June 9th at Normandy Golf Course will be raising money for the Focus Marines Foundation, serving wounded warriors, and the Greater St. Louis Honor Flight, honoring veterans by transporting them to Washington, D.C. to experience the memorials built in their honor. Join McGraw-Millhaven and book your foursome now for this great day of fun and help raise money for two great charities. Foursomes are filling up fast, so go to KTRS.com and click on McGraw Open for details. A foursome is just $500 and includes lunch, 18 holes of golf, followed by post-golf cocktails and food. Go to KTRS.com now and download your entry form. Then sign up and reserve your spot before they're all booked up. The KTRS McGraw Open, to benefit our veterans, is presented in part by Altair Travel, Ballast Point Brewery, Outdoor Living, and JDL Financial.
All right, we're going to check on traffic once again with Tim Weiland. Hello, Tim.
We hear you. We can hear you in the background, and we can hear you talking to Tori.
This is awkward. This is
Oh, I know.
This he is wasn't so prepared. Embarrassing. This is,
no, he wasn't prepared. We actually kind
well,
of.
Well, you know what? Let's move on.
Kind of threw it to him a little bit.
Pay. They'll take it out of his pay. He'll be docked.
All right.
They'll dock his pay. We're going to get around to all the business at hand here. But when we get into this nursery rhyme thing, what happens when you start having grandkids is you relive all this little kid stuff. Real quickly, I'm going to give you one. We haven't done this for a while, and I never get tired of this because I think we could do it once a month and never run out of these. And the point is this. When you're a little kid or you're talking to little kids, we're telling them things they can't possibly, don't make any sense to them. Here's a quick one. This Little Miss Muffet thing.
Oh, yeah.
Little Miss Muffet sat on the tuffet. Let's stop right there. Now, why as a kid didn't we go, excuse me, what's a tuffet? We didn't. We just went along with it. Eating her curds and whey. Dan, when's the last time, or Peon, as a kid, you had a bowl of curds?
Never.
Never.
I've never had curds. No.
Along came a spider. Whoa, we took another turn here. Along came a spider, sat down beside her, and frightened Miss Muffet away. It's a scary thing.
Yes.
She didn't even get to finish eating her curds and whey and had to leave her tuffet.
Because of a spider.
Yeah. None of that. There's four words in there that kids just go, what? What is it? But no, they just learn it and recite it. We got a couple more of these. We'll get to them in a minute. Mark and Jason would be Mark Reardon and Jason Becker. If you've thought about when you would like to retire, you need to remember that one of the major assets you have in planning for that is time. And you lose, obviously, a little of it every day, every minute, every second. So the longer you wait, the less of that you have, and the harder it's going to be. Now, how do you do that? How do you plan? Usually with the help of somebody, in this case, Mark and Jason. If you will call Mark Reardon and Jason Becker, and their number is at markandjason.com, you'll set up a meeting. They're financial advisors with Stifel Nicolaus. I might add, and must add, Stifel Nicolaus is a member of the SIPC and the NYSE. And their job and their commitment is to offer you personalized investment guidance. And even if you already have a financial advisor, so what? There's nobody who can ever say that a second opinion is a bad idea. You want to know more, you know where to go. MarkandJason.com. Where are we?
I guess anywhere.
Can I just do the rest of my business?
Sure, we could take a caller.
Do we still
Real
have
quick, first?
Eric? Is he still on?
Yes.
Let me talk to Eric. We have a couple of minutes. How are you, Eric?
Hey, Frank. How are you?
Great. What's going on?
Hello, gang.
Hey, Eric.
Eric.
I just had a comment, a great story about, I just wanted to talk about women's breasts. Can we say that on the air?
I don't believe we can, but we'll edit that out later. Go ahead.
Well, there's a neighbor in my apartment building, and we had a great conversation. Mm-hmm. So my eyes drifted from her beautiful eyes to her voice, and now she was telling me a story, starting a job over in Illinois. Mm-hmm. So now we're going from St. Louis to Illinois, and I'm like, wow, that's a great story. But I could not help but notice her enormous breasts.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Is that normal?
Yes. Was she showing a lot of cleavage?
No, she didn't do that. She was really decent. She only unbuttons this much, I noticed, the top two buttons on her shirt.
Well,
and
could you see any cleavage?
Not, yeah.
Yeah, well, a little bit. That's because she wanted you to see it, because if she didn't want you to see it, the top buttons would have been buttoned.
Yeah, but sometimes you have to lean over to notice the cleavage. And so I'm guilty, and I did, Yeah, there was cleavage. These were huge. And I don't know. Put, you know, that bleep out whatever I say. I don't know what
bleep. There's nothing to bleep out, and you're not going to hell for that. And it's perfectly normal. It's called biology and being heterosexual. Case closed. Nothing wrong with what you've done. All you've done is fantasize and think and stare. There's nothing wrong with that.
Now, I asked her, can I ever see your, and you might want to bleep this out, can I ever see your naked breasts? And she said, it ain't going to happen.
Why would we bleep that out?
You asked her that?
Well, that's kind of a forward question,
ask.
I think.
You asked that?
Yes, I did.
What's wrong with that?
Because I'm a gentleman. This is what we do.
That's right. That's what gentlemen do. You ask if you can see them.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
You know
what she said? She said, I said, well, thank you for not slapping me. And she said, well, thank you for asking.
Mm-hmm.
I kid you not.
Wow.
That's a true story, man.
Well, see, there's nothing wrong with this. In fact, this is a template. This is an example of, for all gentlemen, how you go about seeing breasts. You ask, and you never know. She might have said, sure.
Yeah, here you go.
Here you go. Take a good look.
Here you go, Eric. Check these babies out.
I never know. To ask.
I tried. I failed. Hey, we go through life. We move on.
All right. Yeah. Eric,
no,
thank
means,
you.
No means no. Have I said yet that I am AM in the PM?
I don't know, but you just did. And we have to run, but thank you for that terrific call.
Yeah.
It was just a story. It's a true story, by the way, but thank you. I love your show.
Well, thanks, Eric. For listening. We appreciate it. We live in a really weird world here. I will tell, when we come back, I know Dr. Doug's coming up. I'll tell you one of the greatest stories, and Dan, you may know it. Remember our program director at Kix, his first name was John. He told me a story, and it's about breasts and women he worked with. It's one of the greatest stories, and it has to do very much with what Eric was talking about just flat out asking, can I see those?
Hmm.
Yeah, this is a great story. Remind me before we get to Dr. Doug, if he won't mind waiting, we'll tell you that story. American Equity Mortgage, we got to move on here. We're never going to have, if you have a pet. You know, it's Wednesday, and right after the 4 o'clock news break, you get a chance to ask one of the very best vets I've ever met or dealt with, Dr. Doug Pernikoff, any question you want about any pet. He loves them all as much as you do. That'll be in the 4 o'clock hour right after the news break, as I said. American Equity Mortgage has been with us for 25 years, the longest-running advertiser that we have. The advertisers that I speak for have been on an average. The average is 8 years. A couple of them have been on a little less than a year. I hope they can join that 8-year club someday, if we're still doing this 8 years. So to American Equity Mortgage, I say thank you to you folks who have utilized them for either a mortgage or a home equity loan or a debt consolidation loan. I say thank you. And thank you for telling them your AM, M, and the PM. That's the only thing that keeps advertisers with us, is if you let them know how you heard. Otherwise, they don't know. They don't know what's working and what's not working. And eventually, the things that aren't working, they dump them. They get rid of them. TV commercials, other radio stations, pop-up stuff online that nobody looks at. Everybody X's out. So remember this name, American Equity Mortgage, if you need a mortgage. And remember, too, that paying minimum payments on credit card bills is never, ever a good idea. And not necessary if you're a homeowner, because you have equity in your home. AmericanEquity.com or 314-878-9999.
Womba! It's Greek Fest time. Hi, everyone. Victoria Babu here. Join me for a taste of Greece without the airfare this Friday through Monday at the Assumption Greek Orthodox Church near Manchester in 270. Enjoy delicious Greek food and pastries, plus Greek music and dancers. Visit StLouisGreekFest.com for more.
When the Big 550 KTRS needed electrical work done, they went with Stribe Company. You should, too. For your electrical, media, and security needs, join the tribe and go with Stribe.
It's GNC's lowest prices of the season sale, now through June.